The room I'd rented in an old part of Natchez seemed more reflective of New Orleans than a river town in Mississippi. The ventilated storm shutters were slatted with a pink glow, as soft and filtered and cool in color as the spring sunrise can be in the Garden District. The courtyard outside touched with mist off the river. The pastel walls, deep in shadow and stained with lichen above the flower beds. The brick walkways, smelling of damp stone, and the wild spearmint that grew in green clusters between the bricks. I could see the shadows of banana trees moving on the window screens, the humidity condensing and threading along the fronds like veins in living tissue. I could hear a ship's horn blowing somewhere out on the river, a long, hooting sound that was absorbed and muted inside the mist, thwarting its own purpose. A wood-bladed fan revolved slowly above my bed, the incandescence of the light bulbs attached to it reduced to a dim yellow smudge inside frosted glass shades that were fluted to resemble flowers. The wood floor and the garish wallpaper and the rain spots on the ceiling belonged to another era, one that was outside of time and unheedful of the demands of commerce. Perhaps as a reminder of that fact, the only clock in the room was a round, wind-up mechanism that possessed neither a glass cover nor hands on its face. There are moments in the deep South when one wonders if he has not wakened to a sunrise in the spring of 1862. And in that moment, maybe, one realizes with a guilty pang that he would not find such an event entirely unwelcome. At mid-morning, inside a pine-wooded depression not far from the Mississippi, I found the man I was looking for. His name was Jimmy Darl Thigpen, and the diminutive or boy-like image his name suggested, as with many Southern names, was egregiously misleading. He was a gun bull of the old school, the kind of man who was neither good nor bad, in the way that a firearm is neither good nor bad. He was the kind of man whom you treat with discretion and whose private frame of reference you do not probe. In some ways, Jimmy Darl Thigpen was the lawman all of us fear we might one day become. He sat atop a quarter horse that was at least 16 hands high, his back erect, a cut-down double-barrel 12-gauge propped on his thigh, the saddle creaking under his weight. He wore a long-sleeved cotton shirt to protect his arms from mosquitoes and a beat-up tall crown cowboy hat in the apparent belief that he could